not to have been a saint. Not to have been a saint. Ultimately, life contains only one tragedy. Not to have been a saint. Is what it's... Sorry. Very good. Do this immediately, because otherwise it's too late. No, it's good. It's what is what life is all about. This is what matters. This is what makes the one significant difference. Do you want to be a saint? Very good. Do you want to do what it takes to be one? Okay, I tell you already, saints can still dance. Okay? And they can, praise be to God, also drink beer. Okay, because otherwise I'm not so sure I would want to be one. Now it's like that line, it really struck me. You see, when, like, last time I was here 8 years ago, I come home and my father dies. It was not because I was here, but like, I was, by then he had 5 years cancer, and that is when he decided not to take any more treatment, because it would have made no real difference. So then he died. When he died, we were all there. He died at home, and he took him, you know, he took an hour for dying. So that was a long hour for the people standing around. He didn't, you know, how to say, he didn't, he wasn't conscious. But it was the first time for me to see anybody dying. And it is like when he was dead, I was like, it was really like a birth. You know, like when a child is born, there's this, you know, not only the mother labors, the child labors also. And you know, it was like, and always something small has to die that something bigger can come. You know, like the baby has to die so the child can become. The child has to die so that the youth can become. The youth has to die so the adult can, you know, it's like you always die from smaller to, and this was like a birth. But this birth, you just do completely by yourself. We were standing all around, but when you die, you are completely by yourself. Hopefully all your loved ones are there. But you see, like, although they stand around dying, you do completely by yourself, alone. And the only thing that matters is whom you love. What matters is only whether there's a saint dying or not. Because otherwise you die really alone. But in that moment, you see, my father couldn't make the choice no more. Then when he was dying from what he had built up through his life. And, you know. So, that's, you know, just... Yeah, have an easy start in the lecture. It was for me a great lesson. As you see, we see it kind of so far away, but it's like the moment you were born, you start dying. You're busy dying every day. Because apart from being born, the only next absolute point in your life is that you're going to die. Everything else might happen or not. You know, but anyway. Are you going to talk about death in the school, Fred? Good. At least where I come from, wanting to be a saint or to become a saint is not really popular. You know, I don't think I could give a talk to any of the younger folks and they would get, oh yeah, let's have a talk on, you know, becoming a saint. I don't think they would like to listen much to it. But try become one. Okay, now, this was not the difficult part. The difficult part of the week comes still now. Jesus was trying to bring home something to some people. And this was so difficult that without break, he brings three parables to one and the very same point. Now, these three parables, please do not look them up. I look them up afterwards. These three parables we find in the Gospel of Luke. And it starts like this. I give you the quotation afterwards. This starts like this. Now all the tax collectors and sinners, okay, that's us. All the tax collectors and sinners, someone not a sinner? Very good. Tomorrow, when we have Mass, you know, I confess to Almighty God and you, we decided not to do it just all together. We're looking for one who would just come up and say it from front by himself. Any volunteers? Kind of standing in front and telling to the people, I confess to you, my brothers and sisters, that that was not really serious, but I think we are sinners, really. Okay? Good. All the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, this fellow, he welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable first. And I read this, it's not so long. Which one of you having 100 sheep, and now we hear this scripture for the first time. Good. Which one of you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, repentance is the topic next week. Okay? So this is not why I read. This one sheep, the shepherd takes care of 100 sheep. Counting 99, he figures one of them got lost somehow, somewhere. And of course, the shepherd is responsible, not the sheep. So he lost one sheep. The sheep there gets lost and is not coming back because that sheep cannot come back. If it could, it would. Because there in the wilderness, to be outside of the flock, outside of the maybe protecting dogs and shepherd, is not so funny to be a single sheep there in the, I don't know what, desert wilderness, because there's a couple of not so nice animals just looking for this type of sheep. So that sheep out there is not feeling so very comfortable. It's not going, yeah, finally away from the flock. No. And it tries and it cannot come back. Otherwise it would. That sheep cannot come back. Now the shepherd here in the parable that Jesus tells us, of course, resembles God. Now God could say, well, 1% loss, I mean, not so bad. No, he says, one sheep lost, and he leaves the others, and he goes after this one sheep. If you are wondering who this sheep could be, it is like the disciple with no name. That sheep is me. That sheep is me. Now, the shepherd, see, this is not a business instruction, whether it's more valuable to do this or the other. What Jesus is telling us here, that the shepherd, he risks whatever for this one sheep. Whether this was economically, you know, intelligent, that's not the point. But no cost is too high for this shepherd to go after the sheep. In fact, he gives everything he has to go after this sheep. There's me. Back home, I am involved with some kind of, say, youth work, but it's youth work with pagans or something, whatever. And so I'm working with a group of like 25 guys, you know, in their prime, you know, from like 18 to 25, and do a week program and blah. And so they come, can we borrow the ball? Because there's like a soccer place out there. Yeah, they can borrow the ball. They play. And in the evening I say, where's the ball? No, they said, the ball is gone. I said, the ball is gone? Like, what, the ball is gone? No, like, innocent. We kicked the ball, there was this garage, it just went off the garage, and we went and looked for the ball and did not find it. I said, did you really? Yeah, we really looked for the ball. Can't be found. I said, go again? Yeah, okay, we go again. And no ball to be found. So everybody goes to sleep without having found that ball. In fact, we went home without having found that ball. The ball is still lost. But you see, the shepherd here does it different. This shepherd looks for the sheep until he finds it. This shepherd does not come home without having found that sheep. How long can it take? Makes no difference. Without the sheep, I'm not coming home. That sheep is me. That stupid ball, I didn't spend a sleepless night because of this stupid ball. But this shepherd does not sleep until he finds me. Then the shepherd finds that sheep. Can you imagine if I'd be the shepherd? Okay? For one, you made me leave my 99 sheep there. Then I had to walk and look. You cost me a night's sleep, really cold out there, and you know, when the sun is gone, it gets really. And now I find you. And then I would say probably something like, you stupid sheep, what's so difficult in staying in the flock? Do you see what you cost for all the other sheep? What you brought about for them? Never mind that I had to go out without packed lunch after you, and there is no, you know, like McDonald's on the way, or however you call them here. And, you know, I would give to this stupid sheep a good piece of my mind. I mean, that sheep, you know, would know what it cost. And interestingly enough, you read no line of any of this here. The shepherd would be all right to give this good piece of his mind to this stupid sheep. After all, I don't know how difficult it is to stay in that flock. But he doesn't. How you know? Well, you just see what he does. You see, when he has found it, and he says, okay, leaves the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. So it's not my invention. When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. He lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. He finds a stupid sheep, which is me, that cost him so much, and he picks it up and he puts it on his shoulders without scolding. You see, you do not scold that stupid sheep and then put it on the shoulders. When you scold, you say, no, you don't see that you're this direction, move. You're not carrying the stupid sheep home. Now the shepherd does not scold it, and he puts it on his shoulders. And he rejoices. He gives this sheep more love than to any of the others. This most stupid of all the sheep enjoys a love that the others have not yet experienced. The shepherd secures by giving his love that this sheep never wants again to leave the flock. Because the shepherd figured that with love you accomplish things that with scolding you never do. So this sheep, found by the shepherd, carried on his shoulders, enjoys a love the others didn't. Now the shepherd comes home and is not just like, finally I made it. Black. He says, no, look, he goes to his friends, to his colleagues and neighbors, and he invites them. See, he runs a party for himself, because the joy that he has of being together again with this sheep, he wants to share. The good shepherd knew that this sheep cannot make it home on its own strength, otherwise it would have come. He risks everything, nothing is too much for him, to go to look and find you, no matter where you are. And he decides not to go back until he lays you on his shoulders. See, this is the first attempt of Christ to bring us home, to bring home to us the most difficult part of Scripture. See, if I were here to tell you that you are bad, I could accomplish that in 5 minutes. And you would believe me immediately. You would also understand that God has to take a couple of measures to put you straight. But that he picks you up as a sheep that cost the shepherd so much, without scolding, and instead giving you a love that the others have not even experienced, this is very difficult to understand. And yet this is the foundation without which we will never progress into God. This sheep is me. And the love of God looks for me until it finds me. And when it finds me, there's no scolding. There's no telling off. There's no set of rules and commands. There is, I'd like to put you on my shoulders. Can I carry you home? And then make sure you don't insist on walking by yourself. If this shepherd offers you to carry you on his shoulders, just say, thank you. Yes, please. I guess Jesus saw in the people he was talking to that they wouldn't get this point so well. You see, the tax collectors, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were so upset because Jesus, he was having fellowship, you see, with sinners and eats with them. So, Jesus takes a second try. Or, what woman, first time listening, and what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. In the first parable, God has the heart of a shepherd, how Jesus describes it. Here, God has the heart of a woman. We come to that a little later in the week. But it's obvious, no? He could have also said, what man having lost? No, I mean, after all, men have the money, no? Here, God has the heart of a woman. She has 10 silver coins and loses one of them. What does she do? She lights a lamp. She doesn't wait till morning. Immediately. She lights a lamp and then she sweeps the house for a stupid silver coin. She does a spring clean in the house. So she looks carefully everywhere until she finds the coin. Again, it's like in the first one. There is no rest until I found. Interesting in this part is that the coin gets lost not in the wilderness, but in the house. And it is possible to get lost in the house. We can get lost in God's house. There are so many examples of people getting lost in God's house, in the church. I don't mean the chapel, I mean, you know, church. That you are in the church does not mean that you can't get lost. So this coin gets lost in the house. So this woman, representing God, is cleaning the house until she finds this coin. And then she finds it, you know, in the stuff that she swept, you know, in this rubbish collection. There is this coin. She cleans this coin. Can you imagine? You know, she has to do all the... I found it! And she takes it and it's dirty. You know, she takes a cloth and she polishes. This coin shines much more than the other nine. The other nine are okay. This one really shines. Why? Because I polished it. Does it go back into the purse? No. It goes in the living room on the shelf. This is the coin that I lost. I found it. Why does it go on the shelf? Because she does not just say, fine, you're done, the coin is found. No. When she has found it, she calls together her friends, her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me. She throws a party because she has found the coin. And probably she pays more for the party than the coin is worth. This coin that was lost is the most treasured coin, is the most cared coin of all. Probably she will never use this coin to pay anything. This coin is very dear to her. And Jesus is trying hard, see, to bring this over to the people. And so he takes a third attempt. And he says, okay, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property. And you know how this scripture goes. Did you ever hear the story of these two sons, the prodigal son who comes? Who has not heard it? Okay, because it's a bit long. So the son decides, I go to my father and I want my inheritance. And the father does not say, look, it's not time yet. I mean, you don't take inheritance when the father is still alive. You take inheritance when the father dies. The father does not resist. He says, if you want the inheritance, now take. And the son goes. Does the father go after him? No. See, in the first two, the shepherd goes until he finds. The woman sweeps the house until she finds. Here, the father stays home and waits. The son decided to go. The sheep got lost. The coin got lost. The responsibility taken by the woman or by the shepherd. Here, the son decides to take the inheritance and go. The son is responsible. It's his decision. And the father respects that, stays home, and does not run after him. Now, the son then has lost everything except the memory of his father. For some reason that is still there. We come to that also somewhere this week. When he goes in himself, when he comes to himself, he remembers the father. So he runs home. And you see, the reputation of the father was completely destroyed by the son. Because this is not how we used to do it. You know what I mean? The neighbors, they would go, my God, what? I mean, how does the father let him go? I mean, the son plays the father. I mean, what is this? So he comes, and the father, he waits for him. He waits for this son to come home. He also kind of knew he would come home because otherwise he would not have fattened this calf. It was ready. You know, you cannot fatten a calf in an hour or something. So the calf was ready. The father was waiting for the son to come home. And then also here the son, see, he was prepared to say how wicked he is and how bad he was and all these things, and the father wouldn't let any of that be said. See, he kind of shush the son, you know, when his son opens, father, I mean, he says, shh, and he embraces him and whatever. And there's, you see, like with that sheep, there is no scolding. There is just this mercy. There's just this compassion. And there is nothing that you can do to it except receiving it. And this is so difficult for the people then to understand, and still today for us, it is so difficult to understand. This is the most difficult part of this week. More difficult it will not get. To understand this, what Jesus tries so hard to bring home to the people. You see, there was this older brother, and you know, there's also this conversation with the father and this older brother. This older brother, he was living at home, but not like a son. He was living like a servant. He had not understood that the shepherd loves the sheep, that the woman cares for the coin. He was there doing all the right things, behaving properly, but like a servant. He did not even realize that he was a son. The father, very surprised, said, son, did you not know that everything that is mine is also yours? But the son did not feel confident enough to, you know, take one of those calves for his friend and have a party. He could have, but a servant never does. He was living like a servant at home, not like a son, and he does not see his other brother as a brother. When you read that scripture, you will hear him talk like that son of yours, which is his brother. So, it is all these three parables fill the chapter of Luke 15. Okay, so when you come home, take some time to reflect it, read it, pray it, and find yourself in it. See, I am the sheep. I am the coin. I am the son. And Jesus tries to tell me something here that so difficult enters my heart, that God is merciful. Not with everyone, that also, but today is with me. You remember, we're not listening for others. This week we listen just for ourselves. The Father loves you no matter what. He loves you without but or if. There is no but or if in God's love. If V-naught is good enough, then I would really love him. That is not in God's love. I will say this a couple of times this week, and I will not get tired of it. God loves you as you are today. There is no other you. God does not love the vision of you. He does not love the potential you. He loves you today. And you see, I have been, you know, preaching this at least 8 years ago when I was here last time, and, you know, other times before and in between. And it remains difficult to really embrace it. That you are a sinner is a much easier message. That you are loved by God unconditionally is very difficult to embrace. Because unconditionally means just that. No condition. Not even the one that you are just thinking about. There's no condition. Last night, it's already lunchtime? No. Last night, I was lying in bed and having the mosquito net protecting me. And I was listening to some music, and I was really struck. See, like, I'm an old man, so I'm, you know, a bit out of date with who is up to date like these days. So I was listening to Whitney Houston. The older ones of you, they might remember, you know, like, I mean, she's still alive. And Whitney Houston is, I think, one of the greatest voices of the last 100 years. And she started really good, and then she went really bad. You know, drugs and all kind of jazz, like, really, she lost it. Now she damaged her voice and whatever. Anyway, so, you know, the old songs, really good, really nice voice. And I was lying there and was listening. And I've, you know, as if God was saying, like, this voice was also meant to worship me. Say, sure, you know, like Mahalia Jackson or like all the other great singers, you know, very, really nice. And then comes this song, and this is what we're going to play, then hopefully it works. We haven't tried this before. And I really like you to listen to this song, but